Let's start today with a question. Easy one at that. What's your favorite Christmas song? And by the way, for years, the worldwide favorite had been All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey. But guess what? This year, that song went down to number two. Number one song now is Last Christmas. You remember that song by the group Wham, which really isn't exactly a happy and joyful Christmas song, but I digress. Getting back to your favorite Christmas song, while you know all the words, my first guest today can show you that when you know the story behind a song, it becomes even more special and more important. She's done this with 13 classic Christmas songs through her book, I Played My Best for Him, The Inspiring Stories Behind the Little Drummer Boy and Other Christmas Favorites. Long being an author, a photographer, a singer, she is an addiction medicine physician and professor. Dr. Olapeshu Samoyan, how are you today, doctor?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Chris.
Well, thank you for really an interesting idea that you brought forth, and this is a second trip around because it is just that much valuable. Because, you know, the song is the song, but when you have the story behind the song, much like if you we're all big on the story behind a hit movie, for example, how it was written, how it was produced, the special effects. So to learn this, it just makes it even more exciting and more special to understand what the song is truly all about. And certainly when we say Christmas songs, there is a wealth of material to choose from. So how did you determine the 13 songs you focused on and I Played My Best for Him?
Good question. There was no scientific method. I actually had recorded songs. I had recorded a CD in late 2023. So it was those 13 songs I decided to write the stories behind. And so now the question is, how did I choose the songs that I recorded, right? And again, there was no scientific method. I chose songs that I liked and songs that were, at first I was wanting to just use songs that were in the public domain, so I wouldn't have to get permissions and all of that. But then I realized that I was limiting myself and there were some songs that I really liked and wanted to include. So I included songs that aren't yet in the public domain and just, So again, it was songs that I liked and that I could sing and that I thought would, you know, be a nice part of the collection. There was no scientific method to it.
that's often the best way. When you think about these songs like Angels in the Realms of Glory, Joy to the World, yeah. Oh Holy Night, the list goes on from there. And these are songs that have withstood time because as you present in your book, some of these songs, and it wasn't always the lyrics and the music immediately joining together, but they go back into the 1700s in so many cases.
Oh, yes. So for example, Joy to the World was written by Isaac Watts, the words, you know, but the music was composed by Lowell Mason, who was born 44 years after Isaac Watts' death.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and it didn't even start out, I don't know if you read this part in the book, but Joy to the World wasn't even intended as a Christmas carol, which may come as a surprise to people because now it's one of the most popular ones. Isaac Watts was, he was meditating. Well, let's go back to the beginning. He complained to his dad that church music was boring. So guess what his dad said? Well, do something about it.
Thank you, Dad.
Exactly. Yeah, so he started writing church hymns, and his church liked them, you know, and at one point they were, oh, why don't you bring one every week? And then, so, but what happened with Joy to the World is that he was doing, how do I call it now? He was kind of Christianizing the Psalms. So there was this project where he was taking the Psalms, he would meditate on them and then adapt them for Christian worship. And Joy to the World was part of that. So it was a meditation on Psalm 98. And then he wrote the words Joy to the World based on that meditation. And we still don't know how it became a Christmas how it became a Christmas song, but here we are. It's one of the favorites.
Well, certainly when you look at the lyrics, you can't get more of a direct message and connection between what the day means and what the song is saying. We're talking with Dr. Olapeju Samoyan about her book, I Played My Best for Him, her website, thedoctorwriter.com. We have that on our homepage for your use as well, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And Isaac Watts is an interesting life study on its own, and this made me think back. One of our founding fathers, signer of the Declaration of Independence, a New Jersey delegate, by the way, Francis Hopkinson. He was also a musician who set a great amount of the Book of Psalms to music. And by the way, he also designed the American flag. Betsy Ross did the sewing, but Hopkinson did the design. And when you think of Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter of any and anything in any chapter in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, those two individuals brought a lot of music into religion, and therefore religion into music and making it more attractive.
I
mentioned again there are certainly familiar songs and not as familiar songs to many. A couple, and reference to angels, coincidentally enough. Angels from the realms of glory, angels we have heard on high.
Yes.
A lot of people, even if they heard that song being played, I don't think a majority could sing to them. What do you hope will come of these songs with you raising the exposure to them?
Well, I think that, I hope that people will read the stories. I hope they'll be inspired by them, and that when they, you know, after learning the story of the person who wrote the song, the person who composed the music, that maybe they will, you know, just sing the songs with more, put more thought into the words that they're singing when they do sing the songs. And, you know, and if there's songs that they've forgotten about or that songs that they can't really sing, maybe they'll go and listen to them. And then just listen to them more closely and think about the person who wrote the words or the person who composed the music. They were human beings like you and I, and many of them had to overcome adversity, yet they gave us, you know, this beautiful music, which is timeless. And I was actually with a group of patients yesterday. I did a group session, and I went through some of these stories, and we actually sang them. And again, these are people dealing with addiction and mental health issues, and I talked about how some of the people in this book who gave us this beautiful music, how they had to overcome adversities, like the person who translated O Holy Night. He suffered from really bad panic attacks. He was a minister and had bad panic attacks and had to stop because he couldn't face the congregation because of his panic attacks. And so he ended up becoming a music critic. He started a music journal of his own. And it was while he was doing research for his journal that he found the poem that he translated into O Holy Night. So, you know, people have had to overcome all kinds of adversities, and yet they gave us this beautiful music. So it was, you know, a message of encouragement, hopefully, and I hope that they were inspired and uplifted, and I hope other people will be as well. Placide Kapo, who wrote the words that became O Holy Night, he lost his hand at the age of 8 due to an accident. A friend accidentally shot him, and he lost his hand. And then, so the friend's father obviously felt very bad and paid for part of his education. He went to this institute where he ended up winning an award for drawing, despite only having one hand.
Wow.
So aside from the story of Christmas itself, there's all these other stories about these people who, you know, who wrote the songs, composed the music, and I think we can learn so much from them and hopefully be inspired and encouraged.
And just to demonstrate the power of these songs, too, there's so many points in history where Christmas songs with their message, they've even brought, albeit momentary, but times of peace during actual times of war on the battlefield.
Exactly. Silent Night is a good example of that. You know, during the Civil War, soldiers on opposite sides would lay down their hostilities and come together and sing Silent Night. Imagine that, you know, and it happened during World War One, the Christmas Truce of 1914, when the French and British soldiers, was it French and German? Well, anyway, the soldiers dropped their weapons and sang Silent Night together. So, yes, these songs are very, very powerful. And to think that, you know, soldiers can actually put aside their hostilities and come together and sing, that's very, very powerful. And it's good that, you know, people know these stories, I think. And yes, it was German and British soldiers. Did I say French? Sorry. There are too many details, and sometimes I get them mixed up. So it was German and British soldiers.
That's World War II, the French came into that. So.
Okay, thank you.
I know, it seems like war times run way too close together, but...
That's
the value of Christmas songs. And so many of these songs, as we wrap up here with Dr. Samoyan, that so many of these songs can exist as music only, but when you have the lyrics, that adds to it. And now when you have the stories behind the music and the lyrics that Dr. Samoyan presents, and I played my best for him, you really gain an understanding of just how special and how strong spiritually these songs are, whether intended or unintended, have come to be in so many ways for so many people. Find out more about Dr. Samoyan's writing, her work, thedrwriter.com. The book, again, is I Played My Best for Him, The Inspiring Stories Behind the Little Drummer Boy and Other Christmas Favorites. Dr. Samoyan, thank you so much for helping us rediscover and for the younger generation realize there's other Christmas music besides Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. So for that alone, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.